Welcome to another inspirational podcast teaching by Nicole Crank, Senior Pastor of Faith Church.
You know, my message title for today has to do with some things that go on in the world, the junk that we hear, the stains that try and set up resonance in our mind. So I went ahead and I titled this message, you guys say it with attitude, "You Got a Dirty Mind." Hit your neighbor and tell him, "You got a dirty mind." Hit the neighbor on the other side and say, "Pastor said, you got a dirty mind." And you know what? If you're going to start a message called, "You Got a Dirty Mind," you got to start it with a dirty joke. Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay, if you got young children, don't hold their ears. You see, there's this cop, he lives in the country, sheriff driving around. He's like, "Dear God, I do not want to mess with any crazies today. Please help me just have a good day." And right about that time, he runs into Chuck Bubba Joe. Chuck Bubba Joe is unloading his washing machine and his old tires and all of his trash into this ditch right underneath a sign that says there is a fine for dumping garbage. He's got no choice but to pull over and deal with Chuck Bubba Joe. He's like, "Chuck Bubba Joe, dude, give me a break. Why are you unloading all your garbage into the ditch?" And he says, "Well, officer, this sign right here says it is fine for dumping garbage." Y'all thought I was going to tell a really dirty joke. Trash, garbage, dirty, right. Y'all get your mind out the gutter. I'm your pastor. But no, you know, dirty mind, dirty stuff, garbage, trash, all the stuff that we listen to in life. CNN telling us that, you know, the world is going to hell in a handbasket 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's like you've got to get your peanut butter and get your 5-gallon bucket and go live in your basement because your 5-gallon bucket is your new restroom and your peanut butter is your new food. But if you eat all that peanut butter, you ain't going to need the 5-gallon bucket. You know what I'm saying? But the world tells us all this junk, the people that we work with, people in our family, people who say they're our friends, and a lot of times even ourselves, our inner me, sometimes the enemy comes and tells us all of these negative things. And we hear them all one particular way. Now, I'm not going to give away which body part we hear it with, but I'm pretty sure you're going to pick it up with this next song that I'm going to sing. But I need your help singing this song because they don't give me one of these mics, right? So I need your help. As soon as you recognize this song from your early childhood, sing it with me. "Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. For the Father up above, he is looking down in love. So be very good." Y'all paid attention in nursery school. That's how you got to kindergarten, isn't it? Well, you know, the Bible actually says that very same thing. In Mark 4:24, it says, "Be careful what you are hearing. The measure and thought and study that you give to the truth, you will hear, will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you, and more will be given to those who hear." So you listen to truth, you get more virtue, knowledge of truth, and even more than that. So let's take the word truth out and let's put junk and trash and dirty negative thoughts in that space. Be careful what you're hearing. The measure of thought and study you give to dirt and trash and negative thoughts that you hear is the measure of dirt and trash and negative thoughts that will come back to you, and even more will be given to you. So if we think about and let dirt and trash and negative thoughts weigh us down, even more is going to come to us. That's why we need to set our mind on the things of God, set our mind on the blessings of God, set our mind on the promises of God, and try and even out these scales. Because nobody really likes the scale anyway, right? You get up in the morning, you see that thing, and you're like, "You, I blame you for everything." You step on it in the morning, and it tells you something, and it's like, "You are a liar. You lie to me." Y'all must have nicer scales than the one at my house. I swear my husband rigs mine. No, but the scales, they don't seem normal. You know, if somebody tells you, how many of y'all ever tried to get a house? Gone through the mortgage process, you fill out the application, you go through all that. They tell you, "Oh, you know what? This problem came up in the inspection with the house. We're not sure if the bank is going to let this go through." And you stay up 2 or 3 nights worrying about it. Anybody that ever happened to you? Or they tell you, oh, there's this mark on your credit report. It's from 1976. You're like, I was 12. They're like, yeah, your first credit card, you didn't clean it up. We don't know if you're going to get the house. And you spend two or three nights waiting up thinking, oh my gosh, what I did 20 years ago is going to affect me now. How many of you have had stuff like that come to your mind? And you think about it all night long. Then the mortgage goes through, you close on the house, you are so excited, and you go home and you lay down in bed and you sleep like a baby because everything is okay. We give more weight to those negative thoughts than we do to the positive thoughts. And that's okay. It's a natural human response. It even happens to guys in the Bible. Go with me to Numbers 13. I want to tell you a story about some guys that were going to do some really great things for God. So it says here in the beginning, it says, the Lord spoke to Moses. Who spoke to Moses?
The Lord.
Moses' best friend?
The Lord.
Some guys?
The Lord.
The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. Okay, so the Lord said it. And he said he's going to give them the land that they can go into it. But here's what happens. We think that the Bible and these stories were written long ago and it doesn't have that much to do with us. But let's go ahead and put it in today's context. The word of God, the Bible, is God's word to us, right? If it's in the Bible, God said it. Everybody say, God said it.
God said it.
So if it's in the Bible, God said it. And he said in the Bible that he's going to give us a lot of different things. One scripture says, with long life, I will satisfy you and show you my salvation. And yet we start thinking about the fact that our aunt died of breast cancer, our uncle died of prostate cancer. We start worrying about the longevity of our life, but we don't look at that promise. God said he was giving us long life, and not a long, terrible life. He said a long life we're going to be satisfied with. So if you're not satisfied right now, God doesn't want you setting up camp in that space for 40 years. He wants you to be looking to the promises that God said that he was going to give us. Amen. So God says to them, I'm giving this land to the children of Israel. So he says, I want you to go to the tribe of their fathers and send a man, everyone, a leader among them. So they have 2 million people in this tribe, and they pick the top 12 guys. So you think these guys would be smart, right? They'd be businessmen. They'd know what's going on. They're going to be all James Bond if they're going in the land. They're going to be like, doom, doom, doo, 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 figuring it all out, you know, doo, doo, doo. That's not James Bond music, is it? Whatever. So they're going to spy out the land, and they're trusted. So they come back with the report. Everybody say, here comes the report. And here's what they say. They're like, oh my gosh, this land is flowing with milk. It is flowing with honey. There are grapes like the size of a man's head. It is awesome. Now, we read that today and we don't know what that means because we don't. How many of you farm grapes? No, we don't farm grapes. We don't know what that means. Translation to today's world. Girl, I found this job. They will pay you $150,000 a year. You go to work, you get on Facebook all day. They don't care what you do. 8 weeks paid vacation, full benefits, and they got 10 positions open. We're going to hire my 10 friends. That's what it means. How many of you would go take that job tomorrow? You're in, like with both feet, right? So this is what he's telling them. Easy Street is here. The blessing of God is here. What you've been praying for is here. But, everybody say but.
But.
Sometimes your butt is in the way. But there are these big, huge giants. And they're hairy and scary and big. And you know what? When we have to fight them, I think we are really going to lose. What do we do? I don't think we take the land. I don't think we take the promise. I don't think we take the good job because there's giants in the land. They send 12 leaders over there. 10 of the 12 leaders tell them not to go. Only two of the guys go after the promises. I'm here to tell you today, if you listen to the common news of the world, if you listen to the common things that are going on, if you listen to CNN, if you listen to Fox News, if you listen to the world, they're going to tell you it's terrible, it's bad, it's only getting worse, it's awful, you're never going to make it, don't look for things to improve. But we got to be over here with the two, because only two out of the 12 are going to know, God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory, not according to Greece's economy. My God has this. Everybody say, I'm going with the two. Because when you hang with unbelievers, you get what unbelievers get, and unbelievers don't get nothing. Amen? So I'm thinking, why didn't these guys tell them to go? And the only thing that I can think of is when you study psychology, A psychologist will tell you that when a bad thing happens, you feel an emotional response. You feel a physical response in your body. And when you remember that bad thing, you feel that bad response again, emotionally and physically. What does that mean? Here's what it means. You are driving down the road. It's 68 degrees. You roll down your window. It is not 95 with 112% humidity like it is right now. You're feeling so good, you know you can't be trusted, so you set your cruise control at 60. You put your arm over the steering wheel. You go ahead and turn up some good jams, man, because you're feeling it. And you just cruise down the road, because I'm free, free falling. Not paying attention to nothing. And all of a sudden you hear, woo, woo. You go, you look up in your rearview mirror, you see the cherry lights. You forget you set your cruise control and your stomach automatically squelches up. Your throat gets a little bit tight. And even though it's 68 degrees and a breeze on you, you suddenly sweat through your shirt. You get a natural, automatic, physical response because of a bad memory. You know, I worked at Six Flags when I was in high school, which is a theme park. And in this theme park, there is a Mexican restaurant that I love to go to for my lunch. I love to go there because I had a friend that worked there and he would always hook me up. So I go in and I wanted nachos. I'm like, hey man, how you doing? Nachos it is. He's like, you want extra refried beans? I'm like, yeah, hook me up. Yes. You want extra cheese? I'm like, extra cheese. Which actually kind of explains why I wore a bigger uniform at the end of the year than I did at the beginning. And he's like, I know you like all the jalapenos in the world. I'm like, jalapeno me up. And I would eat the entire mountain of nachos for lunch. And then I would go back to my little game stand where they strap you with the money belt until you don't leave. It's almost like a collar. You leave and it shocks you and they all freak out and you lose your job. Some little nice family comes up to pay me the money for their game and all of a sudden, I'm like, I'll be right back. I'm going to the bathroom. And I run off, leave my stand, almost lose my job. Here's my point. I can go to Six Flags today with my daughter. And we can walk past the Mexican restaurant, not even go in, not eat the food. I can just smell that food and my stomach will go, because we have an automatic physical and emotional response based on negative things that have happened to us in our past. It's the way the world thinks. It's the common things of the world. It's a very common thing to react to your environment. The only way we can change the cycle is to change the cycle. When there is a baby with a radioactive, nasty, dirty diaper, and you are the only one at the house, and there's nobody else to pawn it off on, what do you have to do? You got to change it. It's the same thing with our mind. When our mind is infiltrated and it's been dumped on, somebody's verbally vomited on us, we only have one choice, and we have to change our mind. Everybody say, change it. There's a scripture for that in Colossians 3. It says, set your mind and keep it set on what is above, on what is higher, not on the things on the earth. And you might be thinking, well, that says set your mind. Okay, so your TV is on channel 2 and you want it to be on channel 30. So what do you do to the channel? You change it. But you set your channel to channel 30. When you set it, you are changing it. So let's just interchange those words. And it says, change your mind and keep it changed on things that are higher, not things that are lower on the earth. And you know, I was thinking about if I have something valuable, if I have something nice, if I've got a DVD player, I don't leave it in the middle of the living room floor for the kids to play on, the dog to kick, and for me to step on. I put it up high where it's valuable and it's protected, right? God wants us to put his promises up high. He wants us to put our thoughts up high where they are protected. He wants us to change our mind and keep it changed. Everybody say, change it.
Change it.
When your mind is crazy, what do you do?
Change it.
We got to change our mind. When your mind is dirty, what do you do?
Change it.
You change it because we don't want to act common, which is exactly what I did while we were on vacation. How many of y'all follow us like on Facebook or Instagram, Twitter, something like that, and you saw our pictures, and you saw our picture in front of the Eiffel Tower, and we were super excited. I took 8 years of French in high school. I wasn't in high school for 8 years. I took 4 years in high school and 4 years in college. And about all I could come out with when I got to France, 43 years. It took me 43 years to use my 8 years of French, and I get there, and here is what I have. Tu parles français? Nobody knew what I was saying. It was so frustrating. But David and I want to go to this department store, so we jump in this taxi, head off to the store. You know, we knew something a little interesting was up because as we were on our way there, the taxi driver, he was literally singing out loud, doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-ba-ba-ba-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo. All's cool. Until somebody cuts us off just a little bit. And then he's all, poo! That is my French. So we kind of look at each other like, that's weird. And then he goes right back to singing his song. As if nothing happened. No problem, first time. Second time, somebody cuts us off. He's like, and I look at David and I'm like, he's making me nervous. He starts singing again. I'm like, Silence of the Lambs. And then this moped, I don't know what this poor moped driver did, but he cut us off or something, and the taxi driver lost it. Moped driver yells back, huge mistake. Suddenly, these two guys are yelling at each other in French, freaking out. The traffic stops. We're at a stoplight. We are wedged in. The moped is 1 inch away from my door, so I can't open it at all. And then when we stop, they're yelling at each other. Taxi driver decides, we're going to settle this. He throws his car into park, pulls the e-brake. He takes off his seatbelt. I see I owe him a $6 fare, so I'm letting him know, dude, I'm out of here for $6. I'm like, sir, we got to go. He doesn't speak English. He's jumping out of the car with the moped driver. And the moped driver, man, he's taking off his helmet. He's ready to throw it out. He's taking off his earrings, all this stuff. Woo! I almost fell. So he's taking off his earrings. He's getting ready to roll. So at that point, I look at David. I push him, and I said, David, get out of the car. I do not want to get stabbed in France. And David looks at me, and he laughs. I am losing it. Those two are seriously going at it. I'm like, David, get out. And at this point, he realizes, you know what? It really is about to get serious. We're going to have to go into witness protection because somebody's about to die. So he starts to get out of the car. Well, he doesn't understand, sir, we're leaving. He does understand, hey, I opened my door and I just stepped my foot out. I'm about to lose my cab fare. The taxi driver jumps back in the car. David's half out of the car, half in the car. The taxi driver starts driving down the street, driving David's leg down by the tire. I'm like, baby, come back. I pull him in the car. He shuts the door and I am ticked off. Can I just be human for a minute? I look at David because I am so mad that he didn't get out when I told him to get out. And I look at him, and you know what David does? He laughs. We get to the store. We are in Paris. It is the city of love. But it ain't the city of love for him because he didn't get out the car. I'm like, you are not touching my hand. You're not holding my hand. Don't even look at me. I'm in Paris, and I am gripey. And it took me 20 minutes to figure out. He set his mind. He changed his mind, and he kept it changed. He decided, I did not come all this way to let some stupid taxi driver ruin my time. I'm just going to laugh at all that. And it took me 20 minutes to figure that out. You know, you can be in Paris. You can be on vacation. You can be in the nicest house you've ever been in, the best job you've ever been in, the best relationship you've been in, and still decide it's bad because you let some weirdo taxi driver mess with your thoughts and get them all dirty and stinky and trashy and get you upset. Or we can change our mind and keep it changed. You guys, I feel you. I know you are picking up what I am putting down. So in Numbers 13, we go back there. So Caleb and Joshua. So man, these 10 guys, they got everybody in an uproar. So Caleb, he has to quiet the people before Moses. And he says, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are able to overcome it. He's got God's word in his heart. He's got promise in his heart. He's not listening to the trash. He knows I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, y'all. Let's take the blessing. It's ours. It's right here. But, everybody say but. It butts in the way again. It says, but the men who had gone up with him said, we're not able to go up against the people. They're stronger than we are. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report for which they had spied out. They led all the people to miss the blessing because they were scared of a speed bump. They refused to change their mind like Caleb did. Caleb didn't only change his mind. He was trying to change everybody else's mind and say, don't go with the negative. Go with God's promise. We have to change our mind, and then we got to wash it. Everybody say wash it. And in Ephesians 5:26, it says, wash it with the water of the word. How do you wash your mind? You wash it with the water of the word. What does that mean? I don't know. If you just try and think of like washing your mind with words, that's hard. But here's what it means. It means taking scripture and putting it in there and scrubbing it off until it comes out. And it's talking about as soon as something comes into your mind and tries to set a stain and mess you up, you don't let the stain set. So me and Pastor David, we were at lunch on Tuesday at my favorite restaurant for wings. And we went there. Actually, there's a picture. We went there on Tuesday. I don't know why I posted a picture on Instagram of a chicken wing hanging out of my mouth, but I did because I thought it was cute that I had a chicken wing in my teeth. But I love these wings. We love this sauce. And we were celebrating the fact that if it was not for those chicken wings, we would have never, ever met. So we're eating the wings, and I drop one right down my brand new white outfit that I had bought in Paris. Now, I knew I was preaching this message, so I just changed my mind, and I kept it changed. And I already knew he was the hero of the Paris story, so he went ahead, and he didn't know what I was preaching, so he reacted. It was awesome. And he's like, oh, my gosh, Nicole, your brand new outfit. You just spent money on it. Nobody's ever seen it. What are you going to do? And I said, I'm going to go to the bathroom, and I'm going to wash it out. You see, when you don't give a stain time to set in, it's a lot easier to get it out. And as bad as I don't want to give up my laundry skills in front of my husband because he's going to make me do all the laundry now, you know, some stains need hot water and some stains need cold water. Some stains need soap and some stains you got to shout out. Some stains you need rubbing alcohol and some stains you're going to work on, but that baby's coming out. In Jesus' name. But one thing you know, you never let that stain dry. You keep working on it till it's out of the way. Because once you get it wet, if you leave it in there, it's set forever. We don't want anything setting in our mind until it's set forever. We got to wash it until we wash it out. So when that negative thing comes back, we don't have that nacho response. Blah, 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 working up in our tummy on autopilot. No, we want to wash it all the way out so it's gone and we don't have to deal with it anymore. Everybody say, wash it.
Wash it.
So we're going to change it. Say, change it.
Change it.
We're going to wash it.
Wash it.
And then we're going to renew it. Everybody say, renew it.
Renew it.
We have to renew our mind. What does renew mean? It means make it new again. We have to do it on purpose. You see, in Romans 12:2, it says, do not be conformed to this world. Do not be formed into this world. Do not be conned by this world. Do not be common like this world. Do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Transformed means change, right? You see the transformers, more than meets the eye. Right? It's a car. It's a robot. It's a car. It's a robot. They change. We got to change our mind. Don't be common like the world. You got to change your mind. Be ye transformed by what? Read it on the screen. Renewing of your mind. So how do you do that? You make your mind new. How do you make your mind new? You come to church. You get the word. You get in the iConnect. You pray. You study your Bible. You arm yourself. You listen to your confession CD in the car every day so you know what to say when the enemy tries to stain your mind and make it dirty and weigh you down with these negative thoughts and keep you out of the blessing and keep you out of the promised land that God has promised for you. I have a friend who got an email about this media group that was really going to go after him and attack him. I mean, he's a good guy, Christian guy, integral guy. I would trust him with our savings account. I mean, this guy is a wonderful person. He bought this other company, and some guy in that company got upset about it, started telling all kinds of lies about this guy. And he said, man, when they go on the news and they say this stuff about me, it's not true. It's going to ruin me. Please pray for me. I said, I will absolutely pray for you. But instead of stopping there, I said, I will absolutely pray for you. And then I went right to work on change it, wash it, renew it. I said, here's what I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray that no weapon formed against you will prosper and every tongue that rises up against you will be cut off and shown to be in the wrong. I'm going to pray that when the enemy comes at you one way, he's made to flee seven ways. I'm going to pray over you that when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes his enemies be at peace with them, whether they want to or not. You got to know what to say. If somebody verbally vomits on you, you need to have that vomit repellent. And don't let that stain set into your mind. Everybody say, change it.
Change it.
Wash it.
Wash it.
Renew it.
Renew it.
And how is it that you renew it? Well, one way we can renew it is instead of giving so much weight to the negative thoughts and letting those keep us up at night, we actually start a little bit of thankfulness. You know, it says in Psalm 100, come into his courts with thanksgiving, come into his gates with praise. He doesn't even want us coming in unless we're thanking him for something. And he says, giving thanks always, meaning all the time, about all things. You mean, God, you wouldn't even want me to praise you for the fact that, you know, when I praise God, my fingers over there is all weird, need to be put over here. It's just not even normal. You want me to praise you for the fact that my arm doesn't go all the way straight. It kind of goes in a little V and it won't straighten out. You want me to praise you for that? And God's like, yeah, baby, you got a little pinky finger to be all crazy. And you got an elbow that works and goes both ways. Go ahead and praise me. And here's the thing, when we're busy giving him thanks and we are busy giving him praise, psychology says when you think happy thoughts, it elevates your mood and it actually increases your performance. Everybody say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Y'all kind of good at that. Do it again. Just say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
I like the way you work it. That's a song. Y'all just went there in your dream. I like the way you work it, yo diggity. No, I'm out. Yeah. Y'all just also thought she sings like a white girl. For your information, I am light brown and adopted. So what do you put in? What do you wash it with? How do you renew it? So right now, I'm going to give you tools. I'm going to give you bullets. If you don't have any notes besides Tide Pens are of the devil, now is the time to get out your pen and write some things down, because I'm going to hit you with a few scriptures and when to use them and how to use them. And the first one is Nehemiah 8:10. And Nehemiah 8:10 says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. It means that you, when you're not happy, you don't have to get happy yourself. It says the joy of the Lord. It means he's happy and he's happy all the time. So when you're not happy, you just say, God, I need some of your joy and send it down to me. And when he does, it's guaranteed to make you strong. So when you get up on the wrong side of the bed, you just say, God, send me some of your joy because I am fresh out. And then when you need to make a decision and you don't know which way to go, God, if I make this decision, it could bankrupt me financially. God, I need to make the right decision about this person, whether to get married or not. Don't walk around saying, I don't know what to do, because that's what the enemy wants you to think. You need to go around quoting 1 John 2:20 that says, I have an unction of the Holy One, and I know all things. And you just walk around saying that, I have an unction of the Holy One, and I know all things. I have an unction of the Holy One, and I know all things. And as soon as you know it, somebody's going to ask you a question that you shouldn't know the answer to, and it's just going to float out of somewhere that comes from my nachos, blah, 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 and you're going to know the answer to that question. The Bible says, and many different things, and one of them is, he works all things together for the good of those who love Christ Jesus. Let me ask you today, do you love Christ Jesus? Well, I tell you right now, he is working all things together for your good. When it looks bad, don't you worry. You love Christ Jesus. He's working all things together for your good. Don't slow me down now. It also says in Genesis 50:20, you intended to harm me, but God says, I've worked all things out together. He said, I will use it for your good. Joseph thought they were going to throw him into a pit. He's the one who said it. They intended to harm him. He ended up with Pharaoh up at the top of the food chain. They intended to harm you with the lawsuit, with the dirty words, with the gossip, with all that backbiting. Don't you worry, honey. They intended to harm you, but God will work it out for your good. Say, God's working it out. Amen. And you know what? You might have high cholesterol. You might have high blood pressure. The doctor might say you have a tumor, you have cancer. God's got a word for that. He said, healing is the children's bread. Matthew 15:26, 1 Peter 2:24 says, by his stripes we are healed. Psalm 103:3 says, he heals all my diseases. He forgives all my iniquities. I'm telling you right now, you don't have a problem that God's word doesn't have a promise for. So don't weigh the problem bigger than the promise, because God is up in heaven saying, I'm the Lord, and I said, just like I said to Moses, I got something to give you, and it's good. Come on, baby, don't be with the doubters. Get with the believers and pick my promise for for your life. Amen. Amen. And as I close, I don't want to leave Joshua and Caleb back in the land with all the people who didn't believe. Because even when you're roped together with unbelievers, is if you keep believing and you never doubt, God is going to work it out for you. With long life, I will satisfy you and show you my salvation. So those unbelievers, they had to pass. But once they pass, God says, I've opened a door for you, Joshua. I've opened a door for you, Caleb. I'm going to make you the leaders of the nation. You are the one. Now I want you to lead all these 2 million people. I want you to lead them into the promised land. And God said, you were worried about the giants you had to fight. Well, guess what? The first city you're going to, it's big and it's got a big wall and it looks scary. But I'm telling you, you're not even going to have to fight. That city's name is Jericho. And what I want you to do is just walk around that city 7 times. And they're saying, God, that sounds crazy. Why am I going to walk around 7 times? He said, don't worry about it. Change your mind and keep it changed. Wash your water with the water of your word, your mind with the water of the word, and you just stay with what I told you to do. And by the time you make it around that city the 7th time, the walls are going to fall down. You're going to walk in, you're going to take the gold, you're going to walk in, take the jewels, you're going to walk in and take the blessing, you're going to walk in and take the promise. For the battle is mine, says the Lord, but the victory is yours. Woo! Yes. Or say, the victory is mine. The victory is mine. Touch them. Say, the victory is mine. The other side, the victory is mine. That's what God has lined up for you the entire time in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Woo! And you know, you might be thinking right now, I am full. This is good. I needed this. I hope I remember it tomorrow. I want to pray for you because I know God will bring it back up to you tomorrow. Then get that CD on your way out. Seriously, don't leave without it. If you can't afford it, I will give it to you. Tell it, put it on Pastor Nicole's account and it will be my gift because you need to pop that in. When that starts coming at you and all you can hear is junk and trash, put that in and hear the word. Wash it, change it, renew it, and come out going, the promise is mine. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if this message was for you today, if you're like, man, my mind has been trashed with thoughts of negativity and I've needed some help, Pastor Nicole, I want you to pray for me right now. Would you raise your hand so I know who I'm praying for? Almost every hand in the building. Father God, in the name of Jesus, God, we just come to you. Oh, and we're thankful that you're just so forgiving and so loving and so full of mercy and so full of grace. God, you don't heal us because we're good. You heal us because you are good. And you're so full of love. Love never fails. Father, so right now, I just declare that the joy of the Lord is coming in, your encouragement, your strength, God, that your wind is coming up beneath us and holding us up and lifting us up. God, we pray that you increase our faith so that we can believe every promise that you have given to us. I declare in the name of Jesus that doors are opening of opportunity, that the flood of favor is coming in, and God, that we will not be victim, but we will be victors, overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, and we seal it and we sign it in Jesus' name, and if you believe it, say amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus.
For more information about Pastor Nicole's teachings and ministry, visit NicoleCrank.com. We will come back.